Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. You know what day it is, Maz?
Today.
I'm sorry. One more time. Your mic wasn't...
Big Boy Tuesday. Big Boy. You should be able to find a sponsor for this, right? Brought to you by Big Y.
The Big Boy restaurant chain is still out there, right? Bob's Big Boy?
Yeah, I think so.
Midwest, you see him though, in the Midwest, yeah. That's how I got that. You guys got that picture that you used on the Fuppets.
It's a Big Boy Tuesday. Try the Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's.
Greg Bedard's Boston Sports Journal.
I mean, we do have Chick-fil-A, so.
It does a tremendous job covering the Patriots for the Boston Sports Journal. Give it a read. Give it a subscription, most importantly. Just watch out for that auto-renew. He gets you on that one. Jeez. But it's worth it. It is worth it. The best Patriots analysis in town, I think, anyway. And so here we go. We got him in our Town Fair Tire Studios. The next 2 hours, we'll take your calls as well. Bedard, from what I understand, they haven't posted the Patriots-Chargers film, or you didn't get a chance to look at it, but you
No, I did. It's all messed up. Like, the first half is all out of sequence. You got Chargers players with their – it's just – so I'm a little salty from that.
They posted the video, but it's not in its proper – it just has
– Yeah, so I had to flip between the TV copy and the film copy.
Oh, that's annoying. Well, so anyway, but you did get a good viewing of the Chiefs copy as well. So give me your thoughts after watching those two games back-to-back.
Well, number one, both teams, you know, had blowouts. I thought the Patriots' blowout was much more impressive than what the Chiefs did. I thought the story in the Chiefs game was the Colts just didn't show up. I mean, they were terrible, especially Andrew Luck.
He was horrendous.
He was.
How many times did he throw the ball into the ground? Anybody? Sorry,
I mean, it was brutal. I mean, it was. It looked like he didn't want to be there. And, you know, I don't know about this with his future, and I'm sure this is going to be brought up, you know, time and time again when he reaches the playoffs, but... You know, he had that that one comeback against, was it Houston, I think?
Kansas City.
It was these guys.
Of course, that was in the dome. But anything outside or anything, this is going to be brought up. I mean, he did not start to make any throws until right before the end of the first half when the Chiefs went to more soft zone to have them burn clock and they had to go for the field goal. I think that's when Vinny Terry, you know, missed one of his. But I thought the Patriots were much more impressive. The Chiefs, it's hard with the way the Colts played an offense and then the score got out of hand. It was hard really to tell how much improvement the Chiefs have made on defense. I mean, I do think that they're better. I think that D Ford is somebody they definitely have to take care of. That guy looked like he was shot out of a cannon in that game. Justin Houston, he had two sacks, but he didn't really do much else besides that. You know, they do have the ability to play man coverage, to do some different things. You know, Sutton, the defensive coordinator, comes from the Rex Ryan tree. So that's, at least it's not cover three this week. So they're going to have to prepare for a few things. And offensively with the Chiefs, I thought, you know, and fans out there who've heard me talk about the Patriots in the past might find this familiar. But I thought that, you know, a lot of their production was on the ground. I thought Damian Williams, the running back, was fantastic in that game. I thought the run blocking was good for them. And, you know, they had a few scheme plays, which they always do, that they hit. But I thought that Mahomes was good, not great in that game. I think he's a little shaky.
You know, in the first half, I thought in the first half he was terrific.
He missed a lot of throws. He underthrew guys through, you know, behind people. Like, you know, he definitely can move and make throws, like especially against zone. He knows how to move the coverage and things like that. That's impressive. But, you know, he took a sack. He had a fumble in the backfield. Like, you know, there were some, you know, shaky plays out of him. So, I wouldn't say that I am scared to death of Pat Mahomes going.
You're not scared to death of Pat Mahomes. No. You're not.
Mm-mm. Plus, another factor in this game.
Are you scared to death of anything?
Not really. I mean, the only thing that I want to know is, how are the Patriots going to execute? Are they going to execute like they did on Sunday at home with a week preparation? Or are they going to execute like they have in Tennessee and Pittsburgh and Miami and places like that? Which Patriots team are we going to get?
Okay, so let me ask you a simple question then based on your tone. Patriots in Kansas City, who's better?
On a neutral field. It's close. I think I would take the Patriots on a neutral field. I think.
Wow, last week really swayed you then, huh?
Did last week change your mind in any way about the team?
Yeah, I mean, they've only executed on that level three times this season. Once was the home Miami game.
Doesn't count.
Once was the Minnesota game, and then this one. Only three times. So, it was impressive. We've seen them do this on occasion, but we haven't seen them string it together. I wouldn't say it swayed me, but it certainly, okay, these guys are coming to play in the postseason. Okay, good to know. So that's where I start with them.
Okay, I don't know how much it really changed my mind. I mean, I give them full credit for the way they played. It was great. But I haven't been a believer in the team from day one, and I'm still not. I mean, again, I didn't expect them to play like that, for sure. So I was wrong about last week, but we've seen it at home. We've seen it.
Yep.
So, I mean, I mean,
it's legit. And plus, look, you know, Brady was really good in this game. But, you know, let's be honest. I don't even think his hair got messed up.
I was
going to
say,
game.
Did he break a sweat?
I mean, I don't think he did. And, you know, most of the guys, you know, he probably had three really high-level throws in this game. But outside of that, it was just, you know, it was like taking candy from a baby.
Shooting
for these
fish
guys.
In a barrel for Brady. Now, that said, I thought he was awesome.
Now, I mean, and he was awesome. And you know what? I can't tell you about anything. I'm usually wrong about when I try and assess a game or predict a game. But Kansas City's defense blows too. And he might be comfortable next week too. And if you give him
could be.
If you make him comfortable and you give him a clean middle of the pocket and he's got time and you don't cover his running back, when you don't pressure him up the middle, you give him time and you don't cover his running back, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
So if Kansas City does the same thing, look out. There's no reason that I don't care what the weather is. He can throw 4-yard passes to his wide open running back if he's not pressured. And if Kansas City plays the same defense, he'll have the same kind of day.
I will say, though, that I thought Kansas City's defense looked better in that game, Greg. And I know that Indianapolis sucked.
Their D-line looked better.
And I even think their coverage, it felt to me like they were on guys. And in the past, now look, Indianapolis' receiving core, I guess other than T.Y. Hilton, although Ebron's had a good year. I don't know who you really have to dig in on and cover, but you tell me, was their coverage, was the KC defense at all better in this game?
I would say a little bit better, but I thought there were plays to be made by Luck every time he dropped back to pass, largely. And, you know, his offensive line struggled a bit. I thought the Chiefs did a nice job, but, you know, some of it was them bringing late pressure and Luck not seeing it or not, you know, deciphering things quick enough where, you know, a good NFL quarterback, you know, picks that stuff apart. And you know, the other thing about this matchup between the Chiefs and the Patriots is that I think there are a lot of, you know, other, like the Chargers game, some of it I disregarded and, you know, maybe I shouldn't have in terms of travel and home field and things like that. There are a lot of factors in this game. Like, if the Chiefs are staring at a Super Bowl, if they have the lead late in the game, how are they going to react?
Is that
how's
good,
Mahomes?
Right. Is that
how are the Chiefs?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? How'd you phrase it in the text to me just a little bit ago?
Yeah, I think a key question in this game is, how many points do the Chiefs have to be up by in the fourth quarter for you to feel good about Andy Reid?
What's the Andy Reid buffer?
Double digits.
Yeah, from 14.
Two scores.
17.
Yeah.
What? 17 points.
Oh, that's too high.
I've seen Brady. He's been down 14 points to 17? The Seahawks in the Super Bowl
apart. No. The
17, three scores.
No, hold on.
They need
10.
Three.
Hold on.
The Chiefs
double
need to
digits.
Be up by three scores.
Inside of 5 minutes, what does the Andy Reid buffer need to be?
10.
Inside
10.
Of five?
Nine. 9 points. Two possessions.
Anything outside?
He won't be able to figure out the math.
I still see double digits.
I struggled with it just now myself, by the way. I had nine.
I say 10. Double digits. If they're up double digits, they're in good shape.
Nope. Not enough. Not enough.
Can
against
I do my
Brady and with Andy Reid?
Can I do my every dog has its day thing this week? I did it all last week for Philip Rivers. Eventually you're due. Every dog has its day. You knock at the door long enough.
Or they're just the dog.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, David Price did it. Alex Ovechkin did it. Sergio Garcia did it. Eventually you do it. Can I do that with Andy Reid? Can I do that with Andy Reid this
week? Of course you can.
Can I?
How many conference title games has he been to?
Like six. Like he had four straight with the Eagles, I think.
Absolutely he did. So, look, I think the guy's a good coach. I'm not telling you he's a great coach like Bill, but he's a good coach. And you know what? There were guys that I would rather see fail before Andy Reid.
Okay. Oh, certainly.
So we'll get to Reid a little bit more. I want you to weigh in on one other thing as well. The day of Sony Michel on Sunday and his role in the victory. Your thoughts?
I thought Sony had a good day.
Good.
Yeah, and I thought that it was right up there with C.J. Anderson and Damian Williams.
The first guy who was... Oh, was that the fat 40-year-old in the L.A. game that I saw?
Yeah, now known as the fat guy on the Rams.
Yeah. I mean, look, the kids...
I'm sorry, who's the other guy you talked about?
Damian Williams.
Who's that?
From the Chiefs.
Who is that? Is he the backup?
Yes.
Yes. A third
he
string.
He was an undrafted Miami Dolphin.
I was just going to ask you, where was he drafted?
Third string.
Undrafted. Oh. So you're saying it really doesn't matter who they... Oh.
Former backup to Jay
Ajayi. I'm on your team with the running back.
Well, now backing up Spencer Ware, who backed up Kareem Hunt.
It's not about Sony. It's just running backs in general.
Okay, but you're feeling on...
Sony has been, like he has been all season. He's been good, and he gets a little bit better, shows a little bit more every week. I thought it was the Jets game. I don't think we talked about it, but he had a 14-yard run that I thought was spectacular.
Ooh.
That was his best run of the season. And there have been games... I think it was that game. The Jets
14?
Game. I don't think he had a whole mess of yards rushing. It was either the Bills or the Jets. But I thought that was more impressive than some of his, like, 150-yard games. But he shows a little bit more every week. He showed better patience this week. He was able to weave through the second level, make some nice moves. These are all small improvements, which he has done throughout this entire season.
I particularly like the breakaway speed. That's what impressed me. I said it yesterday. I'll say it all week. When he got into the open on that 40-yard run, there was no catch. Actually, he did get caught from behind.
That kind of speed, you only get in the first round.
No, that's
right. You can't
right.
find speed like that in the fourth.
I mean, when he sees daylight, man, forget it. He's gone.
Or some undrafted stiff from the Dolphins who was a third stringer. I mean, you can't. No, you got to draft that in the first round.
He's gone unless someone catches him from behind, which is what happened on Sunday.
So there are your thoughts on the running backs. There are your thoughts on the Chiefs. Bedard with an early look. Your phones, you know the calls. We're all loaded up as usual. I promise we will get right to you. It's a big boy Tuesday. We do have to get to Greggy. Your nice little conversation with Bill on Sunday after the game. Where the hell did that come from? Save your answer.
Okie.
You're going to give us the whole story, but man, how does his tush taste after that one? And where did that come from? I found that a little unnecessary on Bill's part, but we'll get to that. Your calls, though, next, right after this.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
From the right hash, behind James Devlin, with Hogan left and Edelman right. Brady turns, gives to Michelle, runs up the middle, pushing the pile, driving his way into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Wow, this kid has been special through two quarters. The extra surge, the leg turn, and this is what we thought the kid has, you know, the leg power. You saw it at Georgia, you saw it on the breakaway run earlier, but Gronkowski off the edge, he hits the backer, and it's James Devlin. He gets up behind, and then they just get behind him and push him in. Third touchdown of the day, divisional round. You got to check. Mass is probably already called out for Monday. What a run. What a run by number 26.
Welcome to Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub across the country on NBC Sports Boston. It's a re-entry Monday here on the show. Mazz, what'd you think of Sony Michel? You got an opening thought on that?
I do, Mike. He was good. He was good yesterday.
Now, we had some fun last week with it, but, I mean, there were some holes you and I could have run through. All you had to do was see, you heard Zoe there on the call, and thanks for the shot there, Zoe, during the broadcast. All you had to do was get on Devlin's fat ass and follow him up through the hole. You'd drive a truck through it. This game to me, Mike, was really more about the offensive line and not the running backs. The line protected Brady. They took the ball. They started themselves in a running game up front. But I still don't like them not dropping a shoulder. There's some runs in there, about three of them, where he came up to the line of scrimmage, there was contact, and all you had to do is fall down and you get 3 yards. And what? Negative? Zero? Any National Football League running back should never have a negative run.
I followed him.
He said we're going to get
it. He knew he was going to get it.
What do you think?
Pretty good, Maz, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, no. I'd say he nailed it, actually. That is pretty much exactly what I would have said, yep.
All right, to your phones. As promised, Greg Bedard, the big boy, is in studio. Sean and Marlboro, lead us off. Hi.
Yeah, so I have a thought on Andy Reid, but really quick on Sony Michel. In the first quarter, there were two runs back-to-back where he got, like, 8 yards a run. The first one was off tackle to the right, and there was no one outside the tackle, but the right tackle had inside position, and Michel actually cut back and went through a small hole, and he got 8. And then the next run, he did almost the same thing, but he went outside. And like, I actually liked the way he was running yesterday. As far as Andy Reid, to answer your question, it's 12 points, and here's why. Because then the Pats can't get a touchdown, a two-point conversion, and a field goal. They would have to get two touchdowns. That's the only way that I would trust Andy Reid, because he's a moron.
What's the Reid buffer? What's the Reid buffer? It's interesting. I think it's two scores.
It's the Reid versus Belichick and Brady buffer. It's not the same buffer against anybody.
See, I don't think, and again, I said this last week and I may have been wrong, but I don't think Reid is freaked out by the Patriots. He's freaked out by the clock. Like, his clock problems are
not.
Does
he even know it's there?
Right, exactly. His clock problems are not exclusive to the Patriots. Ask a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I mean, they'll go through a litany of games. They'll go through dozens of games where he lost it. So I think he's the original. Not now they feel like there's too many of them, but he's the original, head buried in the play sheet, trying to, you know, figure out the drive starter for the next, you know, the defense is on the field, the clock is ticking down, the timeouts are now in balance, and he's got his head buried in the play sheet trying to find the drive starter for the next drive. And you look up and you're like, Andy, what happened to the timeouts and the clock? And he's like, oh, what? Huh? And I like, now so many of those guys do it, but I think he was like the forebearer of that.
In fact, like, if we're talking about the offense, he's one of the few guys that feels like gets it.
Oh, no, but offensively, his
scheme. He attacks.
Lovely. It drives me nuts, and it's opened up a little bit. With Alex Smith, it was, oh, my God, I've never seen more moving pieces to gain 4 yards in my life. You know what I mean? I always do this. Like, we're going to motion this guy over here. We're going to bring this guy off.
Like the Patriots in week 7.
We're going to flop these two guys. We're going to start the tight end in the backfield. We're going to motion him into the right flank. Then he's going to set. Now they're all going to get up. He's going to motion left. Alex Smith is going to take the direct snap. He's going to roll right. He's going to shovel pass left. 2nd and 6.
And we'll hand it to the fullback.
Right, and then 2nd and 6. And then they do the holding that takes forever to get the play in. And then, again, they line up, and this guy goes over here, and this guy motions over there, and this guy's going to come from this flank to that flank, and the wide receiver's going to start in the backfield. He's going to motion into the right side, then they're going to reset. Then Alex Smith is going to come and take the direct snap. He's going to play action fake it. He's going to roll left. He's going to shovel right. 3rd and 2. Like, and they do it again. Like, with Alex Smith, it was really bad.
Brutal.
Mahomes, it's different with Mahomes.
Oh, it definitely is. They're much more aggressive. They're down the field. It works much better. You know, here's the thing about Andy Reid. He is a great game planner. He is a great scripter, you know, so his first 15 or so plays, they're scripted for that opponent. And he's pretty much nails when it comes to that. Once it gets past that, and if they don't have a lead, then it starts to get iffy. So if you can withstand the creative stuff that they're going to have designed against the Patriots to make them uncomfortable, and the Chiefs are not ahead by, say, 10 points on the scoreboard, I'd feel good about the Patriots.
I mean, just quickly, what was that stat they had in the Indy game that they've scored in their first drive in like however many, 14 out of 17 or something? Something ridiculous like that. I mean, they're almost money on that first, which is reason for the Patriots to take the ball again.
Ron in Peabody. Hi, Ron.
Hey, guys, what's going on? First of all, Felger, I got to get on you real quick. I mean, come on. Like, all last week, you're just harping and harping and harping on Brady. And then as soon as he literally called you out this weekend in the media, you know he was talking directly about you.
You think so?
And this week, of course he was.
Boy, that's given me a ton of credit, but thank you. I'll take it.
Secondly, Greg, got to get your thoughts here. How do you think they defend Tyreek Hill this week?
But I mean, what do you have to get on me about?
I just think it's ridiculous that you're flipping your take all of a sudden.
How am I flipping my take? He's losing this week. He's losing this week, and if not this week, next week. How am I flipping my take?
In the last segment, you just said that you think Brady's going to get comfortable this week in Kansas City and they're going to roll.
No, I didn't say that. That was going to happen. I said if they don't rush him up the middle and they don't cover the running back, you know, I would have told you that last week. I never would have thought San Diego would come in here and not pressure him up the middle and not cover the running back. If you give him time and don't cover the running back, yes, he will hurt you. Is Kansas City that dumb? They might be. Okay, but that's not changing my tune. Pressure him up the middle, give him a good defense, and then let's see what he does. I'm not so sure. They're going to lose this week. I haven't changed my tune. So go ahead.
All right, fair enough.
What do you got for Greg?
Greg, the whole thing about Tyreek Hill, I mean, last time we played him, he had 3 touchdowns and, what, like 170 yards or something absurd. What do you think they do to kind of take the top off of that while trying to contain Kelce well and stop the run from Mahomes?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think the big thing is they need to find a way to take care of Hill and Kelce. And if they do that, I think the Patriots win. They struggled big time in the first matchup. The secondary was terrible. I looked back on my breakdown of that game, and that was the Rutgers 3-down game, where it was like Harmon, the McCourties. Like, they were
safety
just
play.
Yeah, they were just not good in that game. The X factor in all this is that the Patriots have completely changed defensively since then. Out of the bye, they came out and they've done this amoeba thing and they're dropping down the safeties. Because coming out of that game, I wrote about how the Patriots aren't going to play the kind of defense you want because they're taking the free safeties 40 yards down the field. And then once you mix in a mobile quarterback, then they're actually down 2 players on defense.
I'll tell you, that free safety against Tyreek Hill, you still lose. I mean,
Harmon.
It was Harmon who butchered it. Harmon on that last touchdown in that regular season
75
game.
75-yard one.
Yeah, yep. So he was back there.
Yeah, you're not going to catch him anyway.
Tyreek Hill got one step on him, and not one step on him to the end zone, one step on him to the sideline.
And it was over.
Over.
I think what they're going to do is I think they're going to knock the snot out of Kelce and Hill as much as they can, the whole bullseye thing. And then, you know, I would play because Mahomes struggles with man coverage. That's what happened last week against the Colts. It's been a season-long thing with him. A lot of teams don't go to man because they're afraid of his mobility and Hill and all that stuff. But I think the Patriots can figure out a way to do it smart and execute it where they're going man coverage 2 deep and or 1 deep, and then they have a spy on Mahomes. And then, you know, you're hitting Kelce and Hill all the time. I think there's a way for them to do it that way.
You got to take out Kelce first. That's the one I'd go after.
Nick in Detroit. Hi, Nick.
Hey, so Bedard, I'm looking at you with worse disdain and disgust than Belichick had for you, okay?
last week,
you were all over the Chargers. Now this week, you got the Pats. I don't know who's a bigger fraud, you or Maz. At least Felger stands by his points.
No,
okay?
But why is that fraudulent? He's just, and I'm not even sure he even picked it, but why is someone...
Patriots.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
All right, so, yeah, you flip-flopping fraud.
Yeah, you did.
No, but why?
Well, I mean, I'm on the TV. I'm on the show on Tuesday. I'm on the show on Tuesday. How much Chargers and Chiefs film do you think I've watched by now? I have the whole rest of the week. I make a pick column on Friday. Yes, I talked up the Chargers.
But
I'm not backing down from that.
Suck, and this week you're all over them.
I didn't say they sucked. I said the Chargers were good. They're still good. What happened on Sunday doesn't change that point.
Wah.
I know.
It changes your point now because you're all over the Patriots.
Nick.
So what?
Yeah, it's a different opponent. It's a different week.
So
what does that matter?
No. You were bashing them. Now you're all over them. But that's not my point. My point is to Mike. Mike, last week you said the Patriots and teams in the league now do not use the run to set up the pass. You said that they spread the receivers and Brady throws the open man.
No.
What the Patriots did this week is they used the run to establish the pass.
Wrong.
That's how they won this game.
Wrong.
That's how they're
going to
win next week. So
wrong.
Can you admit you were wrong?
No.
That's what they did.
You're wrong. Did you
that's
watch the game?
Did.
Did you watch the
yeah,
game, Nick?
But they did. They established the run. Their line dominated.
They did. Oh, Nick. Again, I'm
first run of the game. Sony Michel,
minus
right
one.
Guard, -1.
Second run of the game.
-1.
Third run.
Fourth run. Go to the fourth one. Zero.
11,
zero.
Five.
First drive, nine passes, six runs, and three of the six runs gained nothing.
No, three of the six runs gained minus two.
Oh, you thought last week was bitchy.
Oh, that guy was a baby.
No,
please.
You think?
The wagon's full, Bedard.
You picked against him last week, and now you're picking them, you fraud. Oh, my God. How can you be a grown-ass man and think like that? And how can it be fun for you? So, I mean, I don't know.
Look, I'm not backing down from what I said last week. You know, the Chargers are a good team. The Chargers are more talented than the Patriots. What happened on Sunday doesn't change anything for me.
I mean, look.
What the Patriots go to Kansas City, 2 years ago and get blown out? Or they go to Tennessee and get blown out? And what, I'm just supposed to say, okay, the Titans are better than the Patriots? No. It's what happened that one day. I did underestimate Gus Bradley. I thought
I overestimated him.
I overestimated what they can do against the running backs.
I'm not changing my opinion on the Patriots. That's not changed. I do have to alter slightly, though. I'm sorry how I feel about the Chargers. I did overestimate them. I thought they were going to bring more to the table than they did, and I was wrong. So that's just a fact. I have to admit I was wrong. I mean, that I'll go back in the past and say I was wrong. But how I feel about the team going forward, I don't know if the Patriots have really proven to me they're a championship team yet. They haven't. Sorry, that upset you, Nick, in Detroit. I don't know what to tell you.
Gus Bradley.
Here's Murray's update. We do three up, three down. Yeah, we're going to find some downs for you. Just to keep things balanced, we're going to find the three suck Patriots in that game on Sunday and tell you about them. In fact, we're going to spend more time on the downs than the ups. How's that? I look forward to it right after the update.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots players reportedly at the facility this afternoon for meetings ahead of Sunday's AFC Championship game in Kansas City against the Chiefs. Technically, yesterday a day off for many players, and still a lot of them showed up for treatment and to work out, so they're getting ahead of it. Head coach Bill Belichick also held a conference call for the press this afternoon. He was asked, how much is that crowd noise at Arrowhead Stadium potentially going to affect the Patriot offense in this game? Hey, coach?
That's what it is, and we'll deal with the conditions as they come up, and it's like we always do.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Oh, gentle Belichick there at the end. More NFL news. Fox CBS in Indianapolis is reporting the Colts would like to re-sign impending free agent kicker Adam Vinatieri. Philadelphia Eagles head coach Doug Peterson confirmed today Carson Wentz is the team's quarterback going forward. D'Angelo Russell scoring 18 of his 34 points in the third quarter. The Brooklyn Nets ended a 10-game losing streak. The Celtics ended up winning last night 109-102, sending the Celtics to a winless three-game road trip. Celtics return home to host the Toronto Raptors tomorrow night at the Garden. And Jeff Petrie scored 15 seconds into overtime, batting the puck out of the air past Tuukka Rask, leading the Montreal Canadiens to a 3-2 win over the Bruins last night at the Garden. Bruins return to action tomorrow when they are going to be in Philadelphia to take on the Flyers. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting, gocsb.com. That's gocsb.com. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Next update at 3.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, it's time for 3 Up.
He throws it left for Glock. He makes the catch over two defenders.
And 3 Down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3 Up.
Launch downfield. Throw into the end zone. With Smith there and Rowe as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
3 Down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, 3 up, 3 down. Bedard, even though they screwed up the film on the NFL site, he still watched it. He's got his clipboard out.
Holy crap.
Look at this mess.
Good God.
Look at that. How do you even... This is why when I ask him who's up, he goes, you know, that's why we get all the...
you need to refine that process, son.
Hold on, wait. Because you can't read the thing.
So let me cut. I had Trent Brown for 1, 2, 3... Half, a quarter. That's 3 1/4.
All right. Let's get on with it.
Three up, three down, three studs and three duds from Sunday against the Chargers. Number one stud,
Julian Edelman. Baller. Guy was awesome in that game. I mean, he's incredible. When he's fully healthy, and now he is after the whole ACL thing, the foot thing. He's the motor of this engine, and they need him.
please address the gold star to offensive line care of Trent Brown. Like, give it to all of them. So you got to give it. I'm picking a player because you have to pick a player. But to me, it was the old line was the star of this game.
Quick, too. I don't want to spend too much time on the positives.
Oh, Trent Brown. Another thing that I underestimated in this game was the bye week effect for specifically Trent Brown and Marcus Cannon, who were basically wheezing down the stretch. They really needed that week off because they were really good in this game.
Trey Flowers, he was a monster. I thought the Patriots dominated both lines, and Flowers is dynamite.
Third,
Trey Flowers. he's the man on defense. What else do you want?
Edelman. Really, I mean, look, you know, and I would have picked him one, but I thought the game was won on the lines.
Okay. Now we go three down, which is, it takes us to do this. Because,
this was tough.
Because, my God, everyone played well.
But I'm your man.
But, again, we are just the men for the job. Three down, number one down.
Dwayne Allen. That guy, man. He has his struggles in the blocking game.
So you got to say it's Dwayne U. Allen. The U is for useless.
You can spend more time on the downs if you want.
Oh, okay. Just go ahead, Mess.
Okay. For me, number one, and again, Stephon Gilmore. And the reason I picked Stephon Gilmore, you had one bad, meaningful play in the game, and he made it. Sorry. I know, you know, all this hype about the interception at the end of the game, I don't give a rat's ass. At that point, you can't give up that play. That was absolutely god-awful to leave Keenan Allen that open in that situation. God-awful.
Second down.
Jason McCourty. He struggled in coverage. He struggled keeping up with some of the quicker Chargers receivers. That would be a worry if the Chiefs scheme Tyreek Hill on him somehow.
I also had Jason McCourty. He was chasing all day. He was a yard behind the whole day, maybe more. It was a good two steps the whole afternoon. So he wasn't great in this game either. Again, Rivers had some opportunity. If Rivers had had time to throw the ball, he might have found a guy or two. He just didn't have the time.
Third.
I have a tie here.
Good. We get some more to talk about.
More to talk about. Gus Bradley.
Ooh.
Because he is,
I mean, you
just
have to.
Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. Really? I mean, it was one thing to come out and say, okay, we need to do the seven defense backs, six defense backs. We need to do zone to start. But, I mean, even I had to listen to the stupid TV copy, so I heard Tony Romo's like, no, nah, they're still in zone. It's like 4 minutes left in the first half. It's like 28-7. Do something.
Well, if you're going to have 6-7 defensive backs, why don't you have a couple of them cover the running backs and Edelman?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you have seven defensive backs and still be that wide open?
If you have seven defensive backs and that's the way that you're going to play, everybody should be covered, including you could double cover people with seven defensive backs. And the other one for the down is the Ravens offensive coordinator, offensive line, they must have been sitting home and just been embarrassed. How could they not run against 7 and 6 defensive backs? I mean, you suck. You blow if you can't do that.
Good job, Dart.
Had a point, Greg. How to adapt is what I would say. Daron Harmon. Did he play? I'm asking. I don't remember seeing him, and the stat sheet tells me he was out there for 45% of the snaps.
But isn't that a good thing?
No, it's not.
I have him for no positives and no negatives.
Okay, so I looked this up. Every player in the game had a stat, I think, except for Daron Harmon. No tackles, no deflections, no nothing. He doesn't show up on the defensive stat sheet. Check it out. His name's not on there. He played 45% of the snaps, and I don't remember seeing him. I remember seeing John Simon. I remember seeing Devin McCourty. I remember seeing every player in that game. I don't ever remember seeing Daron Harmon.
There's even Derek Rivers.
Sorry?
Even Derek Rivers showed up a few times.
There's your three up. There's your three down. We did it. How about them apples? Coming up next, your calls and... What is Bill's problem with the big boy? What the hell was that? Usually, Bill just picks his nose and flicks the booger at the reporter. This time, he dropped his drawers and dropped a deuce right in your lap there, Greg.
He farted right in your face.
What the hell? More than that, there was some detritus there. What is up with that?
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Bill, did you have a good feeling coming into the game that they were going to continue to play with 7-6 defensive backs? Or were you
prepared? I've been doing it all year. They did it against us last year.
prepared for them to put more linebackers on the field at any point if you guys kept running the ball like you were?
Yeah, that's what they do.
So it was that last thing that, I said all day yesterday, the audio doesn't do it justice. For, you know, that's what they do. Okay.
You dumbass.
For a legit football question, but it was that last little thing where he gave a look. First of all, he was staring daggers into you, Greg. And then the look away was like, I mean, he said, I don't know. But, you know, he said that, but what he really meant is, this effing a-hole. Freaking idiot. You know, I mean, that's what his whole look conveyed. So what's up with that? What's up with you and Bill?
I don't know. I mean, I talked to him off the podium in the locker room on the way out, and he was fine.
Did you say, what was that about?
No.
So it was... It wasn't
my finest question. And the thing is like, when you're sitting in a press conference with Belichick, like, all you're doing is like, okay, all right, this is what I do. How do I phrase this question so he doesn't launch a snot rocket at me and to make me look like an idiot?
Right.
I mean, that's basically what I'm doing. And I just... Yeah. It wasn't the greatest question in the world. And I think that he knew what I was trying to do. What I was trying to do was, I was trying to get him to say, in his own words, like, Gus Bradley is an idiot. We knew that he was not going to change at all. We knew exactly what they were going to do. They never change, ever.
And you were trying to get him on that topic.
I was trying, yeah, because that's what I wrote my column on the Tom Brady killed the cover three, like he's killed so many other schemes.
As we were discussing, like, what you're trying to say is, are you surprised they didn't adjust? I mean, that's what you're really driving. He would have given you the same answer. I mean, that's what they do.
Right.
But it must surprise him. Even though it happens all the time, it must surprise him that you put that scheme on film week after week, and now you got a special game where you know I'm looking at your scheme, and we've played against your scheme, and we've done certain things against your scheme. So I'm going to come out and do those exact same things, and you're not going to do anything to change. Like, that has to surprise him at some point.
See, it depends on the guy. Like, in this case, I don't think it surprised him because I think he thinks Gus Bradley's an idiot, in which case he'd be right.
Because what's your Gus Bradley
say? Okay, so again, I looked this up yesterday. Gus Bradley, do you know where he ranks among qualifying NFL coaches in winning percentage?
Go ahead.
Because, again, he coached Jacksonville, and he went, Murray, what was it? I don't even remember. 14 and 48. 14 and 48, for crying out loud. Among qualifying coaches, he ranks in the bottom four, fourth from the bottom. Of 180 guys, and I'll get you the exact number, he ranks 177th. Number 180 is Burt Bell, who is in the 1930s and 40s. Doesn't count.
Was that Upton's dad? I think it might have been.
It could have been.
Burt Bell, yeah.
The only two guys behind Gus Bradley, Steve Spagnuolo and Hugh Jackson. Like, that's it. How this guy still has a job to me is, like, unclear.
Okay, but anyway, we wondered, you know, and I sort of tied his reaction into you to the chip on the shoulder. I think we all sort of sensed from that team coming off the field. Brady mm-hmm. whining to the CBS reporter and then Bill dumping on you because, you know, you said last week during your segment here, and we replayed the crap out of it, and you know, we're happy to do
as
it,
usual. Yep.
About how you've lost faith in Bill in these big games after last year's Super Bowl and even the Atlanta game and some of these big games where the game plans haven't been there and the decision-making hasn't been there, and you went on and gave us a nice take about how you've lost faith in Bill in these coaching matchups. So his advantage over Lynn going into the game, you said, wasn't you didn't consider it as big as you normally would. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if Bill was reacting to that, like Brady was reacting to the stuff he's heard, and they've all just sort of got the ass.
It's possible. I mean, when you get a reaction like that from Bill, there's normally three possibilities. One, he doesn't like the reporter.
Could that be the case?
After last week? Could be. I mean, I'm not going to rule it out, but I mean, he shook my hand and everything. He was fine in the locker room, so I didn't get that impression. Two, he thinks the question is stupid. Or three, he's already answered the question repeatedly. And I went back that week, Friday and Wednesday, he had answered the same question already.
Now it's after the game, and the schmuck on the other side didn't do anything to adjust anything he'd ever done in the past, even though the Pats attacked it the exact same way. That question should be asked. Bill, are you surprised that they stayed in that same defense? I mean, that's a legit question.
If I would have phrased it like that.
Yeah, I know. It's always easier in hindsight, right?
Right.
But
I think it's a combination of the three. I don't think he likes you, Greg. Frankly, I think he thought it was a dumb question and he'd been asked it already.
It certainly could be. I think there's a possible another factor also. You know, coming out of that Ravens-Chargers game, what was the national take on the game? What was the...
On Chargers-Patriots?
Chargers-Ravens.
Was that... I don't know. What was it?
It was, what a brilliant game plan that the Chargers had.
Oh, yeah, six and seven defensive backs. That's right.
And Bill's sitting there listening to this, and he's like, you effing idiots. This is what they do, you morons. Like... No, he's not some genius. Look at what he just did. We just ran him off the field. This is what you do against Gus Bradley.
Do you sense quickly before I go back to the phones, a chip on the shoulder of the Patriots?
At least with Brady, yes. Brady definitely has a chip on his shoulder, and, you know, good for him. I mean, my question is, where the hell's it been all season? I mean, I've been waiting, and I've asked on this show, like, you know, some of these games, like whether it's Pittsburgh or like Tennessee or when things are... Why doesn't he get after anybody? Yesterday, or on Sunday, he threw a pass that actually I think they said was intended for Philip Dorsett. No, it was actually intended for Rob Gronkowski, and he ran the wrong route. This is 28-7, and Brady was pissed. And then there was the three and out. I think they were up 35-7, and he snapped off his chin strap, like, really mad. Like, that's the Tom Brady that we're used to. Where's it been all season? I mean, I'm glad it's here now, finally, but... I don't know why it hasn't been here all season.
Okay, to your phones, as promised. We've got 10 questions with Bedard coming up next hour. No commercials, an update coming at the top of the hour, so we'll start rifling through all these calls. Our buddy Guy's in Boston. Hi, Guy.
How you doing, Michael? First thing I want to say to Greg Bedard is congratulations. He finally realized that the McCourties suck. Now, number two, Mike, listen, I don't want you to listen to any of your other callers. I think you're doing fine. You're making me a fortune. Thank you.
You're welcome, Guy, anytime. I do suck at picking football games. I have just got to be the worst.
I mean, what is the point?
Pete in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, two quick ones for Greg. Hey, Greg, as far as Mahomes goes, don't you think this week they got to keep him in the pocket because he seems to be more dangerous out of the pocket? He has great vision right up to the line of scrimmage. He can throw at any time. And as far as Belichick goes, Greg, to use Mike's line, just wondering how Belichick tasted after he took a dump on you.
Well, we just discussed it, so we're not, you know. The thing about the defensive game plan has to be completely opposite. All those middle rushes you had on Phillip Rivers and all those stunts and everything that the defensive line were doing and all that pressure up through the middle, you do that to Mahomes and let him break contain, you're toast. It's got to be just the opposite, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. They have to mush rush him. Don't let him outside. The edge contain is huge in this game. You know, will Claiborne be active for this game? Because that's something he struggled with all season. And they've only really let him play against pocket quarterbacks the last, like, I don't know, four, five, six games. So, yeah, obviously that is going to be one of the top things in the game plan.
And Mahomes can go both directions, left or right.
Right, forget about it. I don't send extra guys. I don't come up the middle. I keep them on the spot. Billy in Rhode Island. Hi, Bill.
How you doing? A couple of comments. In those press conferences, I'm wondering, when he's standing up there and asking guys to give questions, it seems like they're petrified. I don't know if they ask a question that's wrong if they get thrown out. That's number one. I'm going to be quick. Number two, Philip Dorsett this week is going to be the guy that they're going to have to worry about because they're going to double up on Edelman and they're going to double up on Gronkowski. And I think Dorsett's going to have the biggest game, and I think that's what's going to pull him through.
Well, let's see. I mean, if I'm playing defense against the Patriots, I said this yesterday, and I, you know, maybe it's not as easy as I make it sound. It's obviously not. But take away his security blankets first, White and Edelman. Take away White, and usually Gronkowski's on that list, but he's just not. He catches one ball a game now. So he's just, and if Gronkowski's a factor, then I change my defense. But, you know, I go back to that Tennessee game, Greg. Remember the first Pats offensive play? I think it was a swing pass to White.
It was.
And the Titans linebacker came up and popped him right behind the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Vrabel said, I'm not giving you White to start this game. I'm not going to give you I'm not going to let you get in a rhythm. I'm taking away the running back. And that's what I do. I take away the short, easy stuff that gets him in a rhythm. I take away White. I take away Edelman. I make him throw to Dorsett. I make him throw to Hogan. And if he can do it, great. Then I adjust and whatnot. But I start with doing that. And it just blows me away the number of teams that just give him James White to start these games. That's where I start if I'm the Chiefs defense.
I totally agree with you. I think one factor, possible factor in this game is Gronkowski. I mean, his one catch, he had some juice on that. You know, if the coaches are watching that on film, I think they're like, all right, the big fella's got a few little ounces left in the tank. Like, we might pull that out at some point, which they needed to do in the first matchup.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench.
And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at Apex Entertainment.com.